This morning I want to talk with you, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to talk with you about the trip of a lifetime. How many of you have never been on a vacation? Let me see your hands. How many of you have been on vacations? Most all of us have been on vacations. And one of the things that we do before we get ready to go on a vacation is we prepare. We make plans. We look at our travel route. We try and get everything. There's an itinerary that we try and make sure that we have everything packed, because we don't want to get started with our vacation and realize that we didn't pack our undies, do we? We don't want to get started with vacation and realize that we left our toothbrush at home. So we have to make sure all of these things are in order. And then on the process of doing that, I'm thankful, so thankful, Lord, thank you for GPS. Amen? Because when we're getting ready to go on this vacation, we've got to know how to get there. And most men don't stop and ask for directions when they get lost. It's a proven fact. Men, you don't have to say, yes, you're right, or no, you aren't. I know that you don't stop and ask. Your wives have already told me. And so when you're getting ready to go on a trip of a lifetime, you're excited about it, right? When you're getting ready to go on vacation, how many of you don't get excited about it? You're so antsy. You're so anticipating. And then you get ready to go and you don't even want to open the door. You want to jump right through the window. I mean, you're wanting the door already to be closed when you get ready to go on vacation. There's something exciting about vacation. You get to leave all your worries behind it just for a little while. Well, this morning I'm going to talk with you about a trip of a lifetime that you have to make plans for, you have to prepare for, and when you get ready to go on this and you're beginning the process, here's the thing, listen to me, you get to leave all your worries behind. And so this morning I want to talk with you about heaven, and there are four points that I want to share with you. So with that, I want to ask that you'd open your Bibles to Hebrew chapter 11. Really the whole chapter, I'm only going to read this morning verses 8 through 10. But we're going to talk really about the whole chapter this morning, just a little bit. So if you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Will you pray with me, Father, this morning? In the name of Jesus, we prepare our hearts. We ask you to help us to prepare our hearts to see your word. What is it that you would have us to learn as we talk about this trip of a lifetime, as we talk about heaven today? I know there's some things that we need to understand, some things that need to be consistent with all of us as we look forward to that future trip. And so this morning, I just ask that all outside distractions would be away, Lord, that you would bind Satan far from us, keep us from the evil one. And today that you and you alone would have your way with our hearts. Father, we ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Share some statistics. It's a recent poll has discovered, and you would know this, you know that almost everyone believes there's a heaven. There are a few people who don't believe there's a heaven. We'll not call them by name this morning, but or the word that probably you're thinking of in your mind, that we're not going to do that this morning. But I want to tell you, there's about 74% of Americans that do believe there's a heaven. But now the downside of that is that 26% of Americans believe there isn't a heaven. And that's sad, isn't it? But now, as we think about heaven, there's so many different ideas about what heaven is going to look like. A lot of people say, if you think about heaven, what's the one word you would use to describe heaven? And some people just say beautiful. Some people say glorious. Some people say spectacular. A lot of different words to use that people try and explain what they think heaven is going to be like. I'm going to be honest with you, you cannot describe heaven with one word. So the best thing to do is, if someone gives you that challenge, that task, don't take it, because it can't be described with one word. And this morning, I want to talk about four things specifically that deal with heaven, and you're going to want to know what these are. You're going to want to understand what these truths are that's going to be shared this morning. And so number one thing that I want to share with you about heaven is when you're getting ready to go on a trip, you make some plans, right? We've already established that you have to make plans in order to prepare to go on this trip of a lifetime. And when you prepare to go on this trip of a lifetime, one of the things that you really want to know is what's the currency about there? And so we make plans, we call ahead, we look up on the internet, what's the rate exchange, what's the difference between the American dollar, what's the name of this other money that we're going to be used. And so you want to know these things in advance. And I want to share with you this morning that faith is the currency of heaven. Amen? Listen to me. The currency of heaven is faith. You need to understand what the currency of heaven is, and it's not the euro. It's not the American dollar. It's not a peso. It's none of those things, but the currency of heaven is faith. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. How many of you have a lot of it? Got that faith, right? Yeah, let me see your hands. How many of you know that if you were to go to heaven today, you've got all the currency you need? Can I see a hand? I mean, really think about it in terms of you making this trip of a lifetime, because ultimately, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, we're all going to be there one day, and you've got to know that you have the currency that is required when you get there. We think about faith. People have a lot of different kind of faiths and a lot of different things. They put their faith in inanimate objects. They put their faith in a lot of things that are made with the hands of man. And you and I know that things, anything that's built with the hands of man is only temporary. That it doesn't last. That it will one day be destroyed. That it's corruptible. And as a result of that, it's going to rust away. Yeah. Doesn't describe my heaven, though. Does it describe yours? My heaven is an eternal place, and you need to understand that you can't get there without faith. And then when you do get there, understand that that's its currency. I mean, we're talking about a place that streets are paved with gold here this morning. Do you understand that? And so if God thinks that so little about the currency that we use here, so little about the things that you and I hold dear to our hearts here, God uses it for pavement? Wow. And so it's really about faith. But listen to this. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 11. Chapter 11 verse 6 says this. And without faith it's impossible to please God. God is letting us know right now, understand that it's impossible to please me. If God is sharing anything with you, He's letting you know that it's impossible for you to please Him without faith. And so there needs to be a consistency of faith in your life. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. Do you believe that He exists? You say you have faith, but what is your faith in? Because it can't be in that inanimate object. It can't be in something that's made with the hands of man. God's not made with the hands of man. God needs no one to make Him. And that's the reason we have the Ten Commandments, and understanding the power in those words that God spoke to Moses, and even God Himself wrote for Moses on a stone tablet. He did that because He wanted them to understand that there is no God but Him. And so He's a rewarder of those who have faith in Him. It's what it says right here at the end of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. It says, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So how have you sought God? If you're one of those 76%, 74% who believes in heaven, as according to this recent Pew Research poll, then I'm going to say you're one of those believers this morning. But there are a lot of different views, a lot of different pictures of heaven, and I hope I'm going to be able to make this clear to you this morning, that the currency of heaven is faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. So do you believe that God exists? You do. Now the question is, in what form do you believe that God exists? because he's not just any God in any form. He's the one true God. And so God rewards those who earnestly seek him. How are you seeking God? What is it that God is using to try and get your attention? Listen to this, because this is what 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says. So many people want to believe only at the extent that they can sense or see something. So I can see you, and me being able to see you, my sight is a major sense. As a matter of fact, it's the major sense. And so if I can't see something, then it's hard for me many times to believe that it's real. But is it that way with you when it comes to heaven? It shouldn't be. Listen to what God says. Is it that way with you when it comes to believing about him? So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says this, we live by faith and not by sight. So I live by faith knowing that there's a God in heaven, that he's created a heaven, and it's a miraculous place, and it cannot be described with one word. It can't be said that it's just beautiful, because beautiful doesn't describe heaven. It can't be described as just glorious, because glorious can't describe heaven. And so as you try and fathom a word that would be consistent to describe heaven, I'm going to say it can't be done. Can't do it, but currency is its faith. There was I shared a little bit of this this story in Sunday school class this morning, but let me share with you. There was this college professor, he was agnostic. He didn't believe. He maybe kind of wanted to believe, but he really didn't believe. And he was trying to make a point in class one day, and he was trying to get the students to believe there was no God. And so he said, okay, look out this window, students. Do you see a building? Yes, we see a building. Do you see the trees? Yes, we see the trees. Do you see the grass? Yes, we see the grass. So you're able to deduce, you're able to fathom, you're able to understand, because you see these things, they exist. Do you see God? People looked around, they looked around, the professor was waiting for an answer, no one gave an answer. And he said, do you see God? And everyone said, no. There was one young lady who was a Christian, she was a believer in the class, and she said, professor, can I ask a question? And the professor said, sure, ask a question. Said, students, do you see that the professor has hair on his head? The people said, yes. Do you see that the professor has a face? The students said, yes. Do you see that the professor has a brain? And the students said, no. And then she said, therefore, the professor must not have a brain, since we can't see it with our eyes. So she used the same logic that the professor was using. And so many people try today to use that same logic to think that there is not a God. And I'm telling you today that there is a God, that there is a heaven. And listen to me, that the currency of heaven is faith. How much faith do you have? Do you have all you need to get there? When you get there, you're going to have all you need to spend for the rest of your life for eternity. My prayer is that you do, that you're able to have that kind of faith. There's a theologian, Elton Trueblood. This is what he said about faith. Faith is not belief without proof. It's trust without reservation. So I have no doubt that there's a God. I have no doubt that there's a heaven. And what I believe above anything else is that God is their creator. Amen. Second thing that I submit to you this morning in moving on is this. God is its builder. We're talking about heaven, friends, and we need to know a little something about it. As the professor was sharing, look out that window, you see a building. To add on to that, what he would be saying, did God build that? And they would say no, that an architect drew up designs and then that the hands of man built it. What about this tree? Someone planted a seed and it grew. Not that God grew it, but that someone planted a seed and that it grew. What about the grass? Someone planted a seed and that it grew. They couldn't explain it. They didn't know, but they believed it only because they could see it with their eyes. But I'm telling you that the builder of heaven is God. Amen. This is what Psalms chapter 90 verse 2 says. It says, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Do we have any doubt about God? Do we have any doubt about his ability to be able to create with a thought? Do we have any reservation, even a little bit of doubt, that God is able to speak it into existence? God is its builder. And he might not have taken it and formed it with his hands, but I want to tell you, he did something even more miraculous. He did something even more amazing. He spoke it and it happened. That's the God that you and I serve. That's the God that you and I love. That's the God that you and I have a relationship with through Jesus Christ. God is heaven's builder, and I praise God that he is its builder. Over 600 times in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the word heaven is used. I would say if it's used in 66 books over 600 times, that God really desires us to know a little bit about heaven. He desires for us to understand that there is such a place, and that it's a place that you and I are going to be a part of one day. And let me say this, that because of who Jesus is in your life, you're already a part of it. God is its builder. In Daniel chapter 2, and I'm skipping a few verses for time's sake this morning, but Daniel chapter 2 verse 28 says this, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And that's just, you can read it, you can mark it down, you look the rest of it up, but there is a God in heaven, and he reveals to us secrets, mysteries. God desires that you know that there's a heaven. God desires for you to understand. Listen, there's one thing about knowing, and then there's something else about understanding. You may not ever understand all of the details of heaven. Intricacies of heaven. The beauty of heaven. The glory of heaven. But what I'm telling you is God is there, and that God is its builder. It's going to be an awesome place. Matter of fact, it is an awesome place. And one day, you and I are going to get to understand the secret of heaven even more so than we do now. Mr. Phil, I want to pick on you just a little bit, but you just buried your dad and you had to say goodbye. And I'm telling you that brother, he has seen some of the secrets of heaven that you and I can't imagine. And all of those who are in here this morning who've lost loved ones at any time, your family, because of Christ Jesus and their relationship with him, listen to me, they have seen the secrets of heaven that you and I can't imagine. It's been revealed. God is so good, and he reveals these things to us in such a phenomenal way. And I'm just thankful. Listen to me, I'm so thankful that I can say that the builder of heaven is God. God cares enough about you and I that he created a place that's everlasting for you and I to dwell. I'm so thankful to know that God really, really loves us that much. Aren't you? Isn't that a blessing? To know that there's a God that would create such a place for us. It shouldn't be confusing. God didn't want it to be confusing. And so God's given us some plans on how to get there. And then he's given us some plans on understanding what heaven is like. And so as we begin to talk about this, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about some details of heaven. And so make sure that you're here. Make sure that you don't miss any of this, because it's really, really good stuff. We talked about heaven just a couple of months ago, just a little bit, but we're going to go in a completely different direction as we talk about heaven. And so make sure you're here over the next few weeks as we talk about heaven. But you need to know that God is its builder. God is its builder. All right, the third thing that I submit to you this morning is we make plans, we understand how to get somewhere as we get ready to go on a trip for vacation. So we understand the destination. And let me say this about heaven. Jesus is the way. Jesus. If you want to know the destination of heaven, you look no further than Jesus Christ. And the reason I continue to preach Jesus week after week is because I need you to understand that there's only one way to get to heaven. That there's not a multitude of ways, that when we think about the Muslim faith and the God that they serve, Allah is not Jesus. When Allah died, when Muhammad died, do you know what happened? He died. He's still dead. When Jesus Christ died, and he did it willingly, remember, a willing sacrifice, made it so much more special. When he died for you, he rose on the third day. He rose from the grave. Can you see that? He rose from the grave. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to get to heaven, you're going to have to go through Jesus Christ in order to get there. That's the destination. John 14, 6. How many of you know what it is? It's a wonderful verse. And so begin to read it. How can we know the way? This is what Thomas, Doubting Thomas, said. This is after the resurrection. Jesus has just finished talking to the disciples. And he said, how can we know the way? And I'm way ahead of myself. This is not after the resurrection, so forgive me of that. But he said, how can we know the way? And this is what he said. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. How? How do we get there? How do we get to the Father? How do we get to the Creator? How do we get to heaven, whose Creator is God? How do we get to that place? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, listen, that gets to the truth, to everlasting life. If you want to know what the truth about everlasting life is, you have to go through Jesus. If you want to know how to get to heaven, you have to go through Jesus. And I want to tell you, let me say this, that God loves the world so much that he gave his one and only Son. If you're going to go to hell, then you avoid Jesus. And that's what so many people do. Because God made it simple. God wants no one to perish. And I shared with you a couple of weeks ago about this word perish. And the picture is when someone perishes, we just think that they die. But that's not the real picture of the word perish. When we really think about the biblical word for perish, it's the idea that when you die from something to something else. And so the biblical picture of what to perish means is that you would die from this life and that you would perish into an everlasting flame. That's the biblical scripture. That's the biblical image of what perish means. And so understand, if you're going to get to heaven, listen to me, then you're going to go through Jesus. There's no other way to get there. The last thing that I want to submit to you this morning is this, and this is pretty important. They're all important steps. It's all important truth. But listen to this last one. Talk about heaven. We talk about its currency. Talk about the way. We talk about these things. Talk about its builder. But what about this? What's its cost? When you get ready to go on vacation, there's always a cost. There's a price to be paid. So what is the cost of heaven? It would seem that it would be a fairly expensive trip. I don't even... A fairly expensive, that's the wrong word, isn't it? It would be a really expensive trip. As a matter of fact, I would say it would be so expensive that there's no amount of money that you could have that's going to get you to heaven. There's not enough money in Fort Knox to get you, not enough gold in Fort Knox to get you to heaven. You can't get there by currency of this world. But listen to me, friends. The cost is still expensive, but for you it's been paid. Thank you, Lord. You mean I can go on a vacation? I can go on a trip like this, one that I can't really fathom, one that I can't really imagine? I can go on a trip like this and it's paid? You ever went to purchase something and they say, if you'll buy this, or you're thinking about buying something, they say, if you'll buy this, we'll give you a free trip, free vacation. Yeah, you know that you really paid for the vacation anyway, right? Okay, I'll go on and take it, but I know I paid for it in advance. You paid for it with currency, with whatever it is you were purchasing. You're getting ready to go on vacation, you purchase. You have to pay in advance. When Tracy and I go on vacation to Gulf Shores, we make a phone call to a gentleman and we rent his condo and we pay him before we ever go on vacation. He has his money in hand. And I'm telling you this, you need to understand that before you ever go on this trip of a lifetime to heaven, it had to be paid in advance. But praise God, it's been paid. And for you, listen to me, the cost, while it was expensive, while it cost Jesus his life, is free for you. It's free. I mean, I can go on a trip of a lifetime. I can go on this vacation where I'll be in a place that's beautiful forever and ever and ever, and it's not going to cost me anything. Yeah. Yeah, you can. And listen, the reason that God has called me to the ministry is to help people understand that the destination for all of us should be heaven. And that it doesn't cost you anything for you to get there. It's a fact, you know this, that one in one person dies, right? It's a fact. And so it's about helping you understand the steps to preparing for that trip of a lifetime. And my prayer is that you've made those preparations. In 05, Barbara Walters did a series of heaven, and then she kind of recapped it a little bit last summer, you remember. But she started in 05 with this interviewing different people around the world, asking them about their beliefs in heaven. And she interviewed this 17-year-old boy who was a prisoner. He was a terrorist, but he was in a Palestinian jail. And he was a Palestinian terrorist in his maximum security prison in Israel, rather. But she asked him. He had a bomb strapped to him, and he was in Israel, and the bomb was a dud. Why were you going to do something like that? Why were you going to blow yourself up and kill the people around me? Because so many people, for the Muslim, listen to me, this is true, they believe that the scales, there's scales in order for you to be able to go to heaven. And for you to be able to go to heaven, the scales have to be balanced on the good side for you to get there. But can I tell you that there's no way you can be good enough to get to heaven, because you can't, it's not its currency, it's not its cost. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so as the Muslims believe that you have to have a certain level of good, and your good has to outweigh your bad, they believe the only one way to ensure they're going to paradise, which they believe, that word is biblical in the Bible. It's spoken of in two places, in Luke and then also in 2 Corinthians, three places, and then Revelation. So that word paradise is a Persian root word, and it describes it beautiful garden. But he's talking about heaven. That's what's being spoken of. And so the Muslim believe the only way for them to guarantee their place in heaven is for them to commit suicide, but kill many infidels, people who don't believe. You and I are non-believers according to them. But can I tell you that that's not biblical? That's not how you get to heaven? See, God didn't make it so that you have to sacrifice by killing yourself. As a matter of fact, that's really not a good way to do that. It's not a way for you to get there and then try and take everyone else out as you go. The way for you to get there is put your faith and your trust in a risen Lord whose name is Jesus, who has already paid for the trip for you in advance. His cost is paid. You don't have to do anything to get there. You don't have to do anything to earn it. It's free. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, things that are eventually going to tarnish, you're going to fade, they're going to die, they're going to disappear. Knowing that you were not redeemed, you were not purchased with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and spot. And so as Alan Jackson says in his song, and he, I believe that he knows Jesus. I've read his testimony. But he talks about, I'm working hard to get to heaven where I come from. Listen to me. I'm a country boy. I like country music. That's bad theology. It's going to be a lot of good old boys in hell, because they didn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so this morning, you're planning that trip of a lifetime. You're getting ready. you're going to travel, whether you desire to or not. Destination depends on you and the decision that you make before you take the trip. If I were to tell you that I'm going to Nashville, but I got out of here and I hit I-40 West, where would I end up? Memphis. If you leave here today without understanding that the only way for you to get to heaven is through Jesus, if you leave here without knowing that, then I've given you bad directions. And so today, understand that I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are in your relationship with God. I don't know if you believe that there is a God, but you're still trying to decipher who that God is. If you believe that there's a heaven, but you really don't know how to get there, listen to me. I'm telling you today, the only way for you to get there, the only way to guarantee that you have the right ticket punched, is to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God the Father has raised Jesus from the dead that you might be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto repentance, but with the heart, you see the rest of it? With the heart, salvation is received. And so today you're here and you want to know, you want to understand you have a guaranteed spot in heaven. We're getting ready to go on this trip of a lifetime. We're going sometime or another. Your time of departure may be different than mine. Matter of fact, I say that your time of departure is different than mine. But when you leave, when you get ready to board the train or the plane or the spirit mobile that takes us to the next level for that life that we spend eternity in, you can't get to heaven without going through Jesus. And so maybe you're here this morning and God's been speaking to your heart. Maybe you're here this morning and you're beginning to understand. And you can see that picture in your mind and you know that that's a place you want to be. You know it's a place you want to be where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, there's only everlasting joy. Understand that God is its builder, that He created it for you. But the only way that you can get there is by trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, today, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for your word and its power. I thank you that as we begin to talk about heaven and we understand that it's going to be a trip like no other that we've ever been on. Lord, I pray this morning that you would begin to prepare the hearts of those who are here, all of us. You would prepare our hearts for that trip. Lord, that you would help us to understand emphatically that there's only one road that leads to heaven. And Jesus clarified that for us by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, no one comes to the Father except through me. Lord, I pray today that you would light on the hearts of those, that you would convict us where we've believed that we can get to heaven many other ways. And Lord, that conviction would lead them to confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father, I ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand this morning?